I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock, and that means one thing. Not that Ted Johnson's here, because baby, he's here already. He was hammering Alex Cora for the second straight week with the tough questions about first base. He just won't give it up. It means it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
180!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and the three-point stance is brought to you, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're a bullpen phone in arm's length of Alex Cora, you got to get Glassman, and you can do that by calling all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance, after which we will open up the floor for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, I ask you, my friend, are you ready?
Damn right.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds begin right now.
So there seemed like there was momentum to ban the tush push. Like, we were kind of getting reports, and it's all right, it's going to be gone. We talked about it yesterday. Ted Johnson wanted it gone. Lots of people wanted it gone. But it seems that the Kelseys, Jason Kelce, the brothers talked about it. He flew to Minnesota. He impacted some discussions. The Eagles tried to keep it. And I need to thank Mike Vrabel for helping keep it. Mike Vrabel, a former linebacker, just like Ted Johnson, who apparently hasn't gone soft in retirement. He's still okay with hard-nosed football play in the trenches, because Mike Vrabel's Patriots were one of 10 teams that voted to keep the tush push. It failed. Tush push is alive and well in Philly and the rest of the NFL for 2025. And I love it. You know, I said it. I wasn't necessarily going to miss it if it was gone, but I hate the idea of a team finding a wrinkle, a play, a specific style, mastering it, and then taking it away. And that's exactly what Mike Vrabel said. That's exactly why he didn't want to vote to take it away. Mike Vrabel, thank you for saving the tush push. Thank you for being a physical football player and a man to lead the Patriots to the next great generation, Mike Vrabel.
A lot of thoughts on that.
I like how you also said at 59, you were like, I have one more second. And you just said Mike Vrabel again.
Yep. Just Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel.
I haven't.
Kelly Clarkson.
All these things that you said Mike Vrabel said, I haven't read them anywhere. In any article that he said that.
Yeah.
So that's all news to me.
It's okay. It's a boring play that's kind of cheaty, but that's fine.
Kind of cheaty. Andy takes this stance on the day where he's in the home office also, which I think is very, very, very well-timed.
Yeah, how convenient, Art, how convenient.
We go to commercial break, and Fitzy and I...
A lot of interesting rules that I'm looking forward to getting into later on in the show.
Yep.
Like, I'm flat out kind of confused by the many different directions the NFLPA and the owners are going right now, so...
Yeah. No question about that.
Meat on that bone, as they say in the biz, huh, bro?
We will leave that meat on that bone, and we will turn it to Nick Fitzy Stevens, and I ask you, are you ready?
I am fired up for this particular three-point stance.
Well, I'm fired up to give you 60 seconds, which start right now.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. We had a little bit of a dust-up, a scuffle last night here at Friendly Fenway between Waka Beulah, Alex Cora, and Francisco Lindor. And as you heard perhaps me say to the manager just moments ago with the Alex Cora interview, it gave me some vibes, some throwback feels to a seminal moment in the last Red Sox World Championship World Series year. I take you back now to April 11th, 2018.
And that's
That's why he gets drilled here. He slams the bat. Now he's making a move, and here he comes on the run, and now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown. The dugout's empty. Here come the bullpens again, and this time it's for real.
That was a great night. That was Joe Kelly Fight Club night, a seminal moment for the World Series winning 2018 Boston Red Sox, galvanized by the Yankees trying to intimidate them. Joe Kelly put one right in the back of Tyler Austin and said, no. You don't tell us how to run the show here at Fenway Park. We are the Red Sox. Tonight, we need a This Is Sparta moment from Crochet and also Walker Buehler. Thank you for clapping back at everyone and bringing your team together.
Yeah, how about Walker starting his morning with the Twitter machine and a couple nice responses.
Yeah, what did he call the bullpen? He called them effing. He said, I wouldn't want me out animals. There too because we got a bullpen full of effing animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
and
it
that was
one
in,
of those
Go ahead.
It was one of those tweets where I had to be like the blue check mark, I don't know if it means anything anymore. Is this really Walker Buehler? Is this a fan account? Like that's how entertaining it was, let's just say.
Well, so is John Boy Media posted it, as they do with a lot of great baseball highlights. Jordan Moore then quote tweeted it, and then Walker Buehler quote tweeted that as well. So major traction. Everyone who loves baseball has now seen this, heard this. It definitely was a moment. It could provide a chippy game tonight, fellas. And I'm just saying, if they go on a run, Ted,
yeah.
maybe.
Let's go. Okay. Let's get on. Let's do it. Let's go on a run. They've had one they had a 5-game winning streak early in the season, I believe.
Uno.
So that would be nice if they got a little run going.
I wouldn't want me out there either. Sad thing is the bullpen, in all capital letters, is full of blanking animals.
Love it.
Tough choice.
Way to have
that
guys back.
That's didn't
feed
didn't,
me that.
Didn't Alex Cora once? Sorry, Andy. Didn't Alex Cora once call Walker Buehler a bulldog? I feel like that was his choice of words. Like he'll go out there and give you everything he has, but also fearless.
That's what you need out of ace pitcher like that. I mean, I didn't realize how big he was. I kind of noticed.
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude. When he was barking last night, that's a big F zombie barking at the ump right there.
A little Ted Johnson, a little John Kerry. Wham, Walker Buehler.
All right, Ted. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Bub.
Speaking of fearless. Yep. All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, look, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit with the Bill Belichick story. I try not to do too many three-point stances on it because people know my history with Bill. But there's this one thing that I could not get over, and it was I printed the entire New York Times article about Bill Belichick that is just fascinating. A TMZ came out with an article today that highlights so many fascinating. There's so many details about the history of Bill Belichick coming out and in his love life. But one thing that just struck me and hit me square in the eyes, where I just said I got to talk about this, is what you guys sent me, the article of Mack Brown, the former coach of the UNC football team, basically saying some things that I didn't know. And that to me, this is the cherry on top of what's been, to me, an unfortunate kind of offseason for Bill Belichick. And for a guy that values education, Bill Belichick went to Wesleyan. He's always kind of looked down at people that aren't educated. He values smart people. Two of his best friends, Ernie Adams went to Phillips Academy, then he went to Northwestern. Matt Patricia, his other buddy, went to RPI. He was an aerospace engineer. He values smart people. And then I hear this story. Mack Brown's talking about Bill Belichick, and he says, quote, they, meaning UNC, have committed money to it. They've helped him with academics. They've lowered their standards some, so there's absolutely no reason that they shouldn't be successful. And anymore, they've changed the roster. Mack Brown is telling you that UNC has changed the rules for their academic standards and lowered it so that Bill Belichick could get better players there. UNC sold its soul to Bill Belichick. Shame on them. And for a guy that values education, being okay with that, I think it's embarrassing. I don't know why that stuck in my craw, but it did, and that is just, I think it's unfortunate.
Seems to value education when it's convenient.
For him, very much. That's kind of the story of one Bill Belichick.
Interesting.
If we had to sum it all up.
Yep. Belichick has done it again.
On the table today, we have the Tush Push, and Andy thanking Mike Vrabel without the benefit of having Ted Johnson in front of him.
May I jump in real quick,
yeah.
Ted, to your point as well? What is the top-ranked academic public institution in the United States of America?
Stanford.
UNC.
Okay, so UNC. Yeah.
Well, it was
top
until
ranked. And they're lowering the stand. I'm sorry. Like, that's just, sorry. Bill Belichick fan. First time, long time. Gross. It's just stupid.
Are you kidding me?
I don't like it.
And that's where, you know, there's a lot of this other stuff, the fluffy stuff that you can kind of call him out on. But it's at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, you know, whatever. He's a disaster in his off the field life. But when you're seeing stories like that, the UNC is lowering their academic standards so that he can put a better team out there. And then you see his recruiting class was doubly worse this year than last year's class. And it doesn't, so it's not even, lowering the standards not even helping them.
It may, and it'll improve next year as well, but they are 29th in the world. That's not a bad ranking, and 20th in the United States over all academic institutions. But since they're a state school, UNC is the top ranked, and they're now lowering their standards just so they can perhaps recruit a higher class or higher caliber of a football player. Come on now.
Let's stick on this for a moment. We'll do all the rule changes and stuff next. But Andy, I'll throw it to you. I want to get your stance on this for a moment on just how much, as this story continues to progress, and there's the on the field stuff, there's now academic stuff, and of course there's the off the field stuff, which we talk about ad nauseum. Ted brought up probably 3 weeks to a month ago the idea that maybe this fit is going sour before kickoff for season one. Where do you stand on the fact that this team and this coach are going to have to kick off and potentially play football in September?
You're too far down the road. I don't think there's anything you can do about it. You've changed who you are financially. You've changed who you are academically. As Ted just said, you sold your soul, and I think you need to let it play out. I don't think you can. If you pull the plug on it now, it'd be some weird situation where you let in some guys that maybe shouldn't be at the University of North Carolina, but Bill Belichick's not even coaching them. Who is coaching them? Is it Steve Belichick? You know, you're just too far down the road. And I will say, if I wanted to be a devil's advocate, I was very interested in this because Mack Brown turned the heat up on Bill Belichick. He said, yeah, you should win. You lowered your academic standards and increased the amount of money you're spending. You absolutely should win. But is there even a hint of jealousy, axe to grind, spilt milk? The guy is like, I couldn't get these players in. I couldn't pay players. He even told a story in the article about the Hampton kid, the running back, that he had an opportunity for $1 million plus to leave, and Mack Brown was like, well, you should probably leave. We can't pay you that. We don't pay anything like that. And Hampton stayed, and he had a nice year. But that's the only thing I'd question. Like, is Mack Brown jealous that he didn't have these opportunities when he was the head coach at North Carolina recently?
Yeah, oh, so you'll give Bill Belichick money and you'll lower the academic standard for him so that we can keep up with Clemson, and Clemson can't carry the backpack or academic shoes of University of North Carolina, nor should it try to, because North Carolina is thought of first, Ted, as a basketball school and a higher learning academic institution in North Star. And so now to just sort of like, great, you want to compete with Clemson, so you're going to go be Clemson as well? Like, I actually think it would have been more remarkable for Bill Belichick to go someplace that had a high academic standard, and still he was able to raise the quality of their play on the field without having to lower the academic standard.
That's a good point. I mean, is it going to be
over the goalpost?
If he wins more games than Mack Brown did, now that the rules are changed to benefit him, is that going to be as impressive?
No,
not really. No, nope. You know, Andy, not really. So, I'm shocked. I'll be honest. I'm kind of shocked. It also is just it paints a picture of kind of these universities really selling out to just, these aren't students. It's a pro league now. College is a pro league. So there's student athletes, please. You know, it's about just getting the best football players you can so you can make a lot of money for your university, and academic standards be damned, student athletes. Just kind of, I don't know, pushing that narrative forward anymore is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I actually think it undercuts whatever Belichick does in a way. If he wins, you go, well, we know why you won. You now have $20-plus million roster, just like Ohio State, and you're letting in lesser academic candidates than Mack Brown had. And if you lose, then you go, wait a minute, you changed the rules and still lost? You still? Mm-hmm. And I said it to you guys yesterday, I think, or maybe it was in today's email, the over-under set by Vegas is 7.5 wins, exact same as it was a year ago for Mack Brown and his roster.
Can I ask you guys, I'm curious, do you think Bill Belichick will be successful at UNC? Do you think?
Yes.
And you think? Okay. So why do you think he will, Fitzy?
He's a pretty good football coach.
Because he's a pretty good football. What about you, Andy?
No, I don't think he's going to make the transition. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think he's getting the recruiting that he expected to get. And I would also argue he used to be a pretty good football coach. The last couple of years, he's made some hellacious decisions in terms of staffing, decisions on the field, and his record showed it on the field.
I thought it was – I saw a clear line. When Brady left, and even maybe a little before, he doesn't work as hard. I mean, there's a lot of things you can point to. He wasn't there at start of free agency. No days off. It used to be his money. It was no. We're taking how many times?
Well, some days off, actually.
He's taken more time off in the last 4 years as he was the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Yep.
That you think, and I think we all kind of know maybe what was is that the heart of that, right?
Oh, red pants.
What is the red pants is still here. Red Pants is even more in the light. So he's working less than he ever has. I just don't see him, he's not working hard at UNC. Now that he's at UNC, he's working hard to promote his books and to go to all these other events with his girlfriend.
His brand and Navy.
He's not focused on the football team. So I think that is going to, I don't think he's going to hit that 7.5. I think he's getting under those wins.
Andy, you remember back on the Six Rings podcast and postgame show that I used to always ask the question, if Bill Belichick's mantra, if his catchphrase is do your job, why in the world over the last couple of years in his tenure with the Patriots, was it do your job? Because he had Matt Patricia doing 3 or 4 during that 2022 season. Belichick himself was so heavily involved in contracts and being the GM, helping out the defense, being the head coach, also making arrangements for Red Pants and everything else. He didn't just focus on the one thing, which was coaching the New England Patriots. And you saw, Ted, a lot of the seams come undone and things were not as neat and tidy and buttoned up. And that's okay to say about someone who was a dominant figure in the Boston sports, New England sports, and NFL landscape for 20 years to say, things kind of came undone, and you lost your way a little bit.
So you still think he's going to have?
I think he's going to start.
Think he's a good coach? I think he stopped being a good coach so long ago. I don't. What is in recent history gives you any confidence that he's still a good coach? What can you point to and say, look, he still has his fastball. Look at this or look at that. I don't know what evidence is there that would suggest that he's a good football coach anymore.
Well, I won't say that he is a great sports psychologist because he basically just reverse engineered all of the confidence of Mac Jones as Matt Patricia reverse engineered the offense in 2022. But there were some games along the way where you still saw his coaching fastball. There were games that players dropped balls, players missed assignments. He had inferior talent, but it was Bill, the GM, who got Bill, the coach, fired. Bill's insistence on being the overlord.
Well, he's still the GM at UNC. I mean, the overlord there.
We'll see how that works out for him.
I don't think it's
going to work. His legacy, parts of his legacy, not the entirety of it, Ted, but parts of his legacy, Andy, could be on the line here, which is what leads me to think he's going to double down and do the best he can this season.
I also will continue to throw out there, and people get uncomfortable when I say this, he's old. Old football coaches who were even great were not as good when they got older, right? Mac Brown was a great coach once. He's not as great recently. Joe Paterno, Bobby Bowden, whoever you want to pick, old coaches regress, and they either lean on very strong coordinators to continue the success of the program, or they kind of peter out. It's why Pete Carroll this year is going to become the oldest coach in the history of the NFL. There was a lot of good coaches before Pete Carroll that got old, and you know what they did? They went off to pasture, right? The game passed them by, whatever cliche you want to use, and the reality is, people get uncomfortable. Bill Belichick's old. He's an old coach, and that can affect the production.
Harder to coach, NFL or college?
It's
not even
That's
close.
A good college. Question.
College football's way harder.
I feel
harder.
Like you're slightly more qualified to answer your own question.
It's. Easy answer. You guys, it's college. College. There's way more to have to worry about in college than in the NFL. Your phone's blowing up as a college coach all the time with kids having problems. You have parents. You have you have boosters. You have so all these rules. There's so much more that you have to deal with in college football than in the NFL. It's really not even close. And so you're going for a job that's much harder in the college game, and you're gonna work. as hard as, or as, you know, like you were in the NFL. Like, the Bill is not working hard, but he's bringing the same habits to the college. I think he's going to underperform just because of that.
Let me ask you guys one question on this real quick. And Andy, I know you're going to jump in, so I'll start with you. Do we believe that Bill Belichick, as now this post-professional college coach, is going to do the same level of coaching? How much coaching is he going to do versus how much of a figurehead is he for the program to try to drum up interest, dollars, etc.?
I mean, that's a good question, because that's what I sort of alluded to. A lot of these older coaches in college, now usually they've been established and they've been at an institution for years and decades. They do lean on their coaches in waiting, right? Jumbo Fisher at Florida State was the head coach in waiting. He was the guy that really did everything down there. Is Steve Belichick and Freddie Kitchens, are they the two guys that are really going to be running North Carolina? If so, I don't know how confident the Tar Heels fans will feel about what they have as a program with Bill Belichick as more of a figurehead. So yeah, I think that's a fair question. And I do think, Ted, you are fair in questioning, has Bill worked less than he did in the past? And I think almost everybody that's been around him or has seen it would say, yeah, he absolutely has put in less work. Is that deserved and earned? Is that normal and natural? That's a different question, but it definitely happened over the last few years.
All right, I guess we'll leave it there. If either of you guys want to throw anything in, no, we will leave it there. So that is 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. We touched on the Bill Belichick continued drama, and something tells me, Andy Hart, we will continue to do this as the days move along.
Yeah, I know a lot of fans like to rip Ted for, like, they talk about Belichick because Ted wants to. No. We talk about Belichick because it's on the New York Times. It's on every website. It's on every, you know, TMZ. There's a new story every day related to North Carolina football, Bill Belichick, and Jordan. So don't put this on Ted. This is on Bill. Bill has created a distraction for the Tar Heels, and we are easily distracted. We follow distractions and will continue to do so.
Means,
it's fun to talk about Bill.
No, we're talking about this. We're talking about this because Stiz wants to talk about it. That's why we're doing it.
You know what's amazing too? It's just the detail of some of these things. I mean, you talk about Bill has, like, nothing ever came out of Foxborough. You didn't, Bill, like, he had it so, he was so insular. Now everybody's talking. There's details about all these things that are salacious, that are just like jaw dropping stuff.
It's a complete 180, Ted.
He's got no cover. He's got nobody protect him, and everybody in his, I wouldn't trust one person in his inner circle. He doesn't have an inner circle because they're all they're all singing, baby.
She's the mole.
You're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right. Someone needs to tell Bill.
Wouldn't that be quite the heel?
You
want
to volunteer? Oh, give him a call. Oh, pop that phone out. Use the old number. Give him a call. Tell him that call is coming from inside the house. Bill, I'm worried about you. Jordan is the mole.
What about Bill? What about Bill's ex bullying the poor girl though?
Oh,
at
bullying
parties.
How about the balls on her going into Linda's party? Like,
Linda's party? It wasn't Linda's party.
She's the queen of Nantucket, I'll have you know.
Yeah, 617,
please.
779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll talk a little bit about those rules changes. I know Fitzy's confused because online kicks had to move 1 yard. I'm a little confused, too, why they had to move 1 yard in the new rules for onside kicks.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick in the NFL. We'll talk about the tush push, some of the other changes, and a reminder, 4 o'clock for the last time this season, sadly, because the Celtics were eliminated. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, will join us to talk about the dismissal of the Celtics and what the offseason will bring. But up next, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Our phone lines are open.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.